You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's live talk. I am your host, Michelle Gasseau. Today we will be speaking with Mark Saunders, warden in the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction and a former warden advisor in Iraq about his service there last year.
Warden Saunders has extensive experience in corrections, serving as warden and deputy warden in several facilities in Ohio. In March 2004, Warden Saunders was called upon to serve his government as an advisor to the Iraqi Corrections Service in Baghdad. He spent the next 8 months building the prison system there. During the majority of his tour, Mark served as the primary American advisor at the Rusafa prison complex. The complex housed three prison units, the reception center for the entire ICS, the transportation hub for the ICS, and ICS headquarters, which included the offices of the Director General and the Assistant Director General. Rusafa was also the site of the construction of the new ICS Training Academy and two additional prison units. He was the advisor to the wardens and deputy wardens of the prison units, the Director General, and Assistant Director General and Transportation Manager. Saunders returned from Iraq on November 15, 2004, and began his position as warden of the Southeastern Correctional Institution on November 28, where he currently serves. He is the sitting president of the Ohio Correctional and Court Services Association. He serves as the Board of Governors representative to the Executive Committee of the ACA. He served on the executive boards of the Ohio chapters of NABCJ and CEA. He is currently vice president of NAWS and a charter member of the National Organization of Hispanics in Criminal Justice. Today, he will discuss his service and experiences in Iraq. So welcome to today's live talk, Warden Saunders.
Thank you, Michelle, and good afternoon to you. And before we get into the questions, I'd like to kind of clarify a little bit in the introduction.
Sure.
I heard you introduce me. Thank you for the very kind words, but I don't want to leave the impression that I did anything single-handedly. I was there with the team. And worked on the system. It wasn't just me. There was a team of folks. And also, in terms of my role advising the Director General and the Assistant Director General, a lot of it was because I was local to their offices, but there were other staff specifically assigned to advise them. And I don't want to make it sound like I would possibly be taking any credit for something that I, you know, especially sole credit when there was such a strong team effort.
Well, thanks for clarifying that. And but you were doing some very important work there, and I was hoping today you could talk a little bit about my first question is something along, you could tell us a little bit about the differences between running an Iraqi prison and an American one, and what are some of the major things that you experienced there?
Well, by far the biggest contrast is the staff. In American prisons, at least those that I'm familiar with, we can ask something of the staff, and even those who are new corrections officers or other positions in the field, even if they're new to their position, there's enough experienced and knowledgeable staff around them to make sure that what is supposed to happen does happen and is done in an effective manner. In Iraq, we dealt with no experienced staff whatsoever. So everything we asked them was a complete challenge, not only to the individual we asked, but everyone around them. He had no one to go to for help except for the few American advisors that might be present. So everything was a learning, building block process, things that are very simple and taken for granted in our country, such as shakedowns or counting inmates or handling keys, were very educational experiences for the Iraqi staff, and we had to really go step by step with every single piece. So that was by far the biggest difference. But also, probably the next biggest difference was the cultural manner in which they go about their duties. We do a very good job, in my experience in the prisons I've been in this country, with separating ourselves professionally from the inmates. And we do that for a number of good security reasons. In Iraq, it's much different. Their cultural ties to one another are much stronger in some ways, especially if it involves religion or tribal affiliation. And they cannot sometimes break themselves into a professional mode away from the personal relationship that they may have with the inmate.
Mm-hmm.
This is a recognized situation that will not change. This is a culture we're talking about, not a bad practice or
right.
something that they do wrong. It's a culture. So the system, we have to work with the Iraqis kind of around that and understand that it was going to be part of what they did and kind of help. Basically, it took a lot more effort concentrating on making sure that the things were done as professionally as possible with the inmates. And generally, we're talking about preferential treatment, not abuse. It was almost always in my experience over there in my 8 months was that they wanted someone in their tribe or someone that they had a familial relationship with or some other type of strong cultural bond to. They were imposed upon them by their culture to treat those folks in a certain way, and that didn't change just because that person was in prison.
Okay.
So those two biggest differences that stand out right now.
Okay. How difficult, and I'm going to assume it was, to establish sort of traditional American correctional policies and procedures and principles there? Were there some barriers that you could identify, or were they accepting of those?
There was an interesting dichotomy. One, we were Americans, and there was no doubt that was our experience for the most part of the folks that were on the team. However, the standards we were really asked to impose were international standards.
Uh-huh.
Of course, international standards are based on the culture of the country that they're being applied in. So instead of saying, well, you need to do this because this is how we did it in America, or in the Western world, if you will, we would say, how does this apply to Iraqi standards, or to the Iraqi culture, and what standard can be developed from that culture that's acceptable? A good example, for instance, is the square footage. As you know, the American Correctional Association requires 35 square feet of unencumbered living space per inmate housing areas, and that can vary based on some factors. That's kind of a general rule. The standard established in Iraq, based on their culture and what they were used to, was only 25 feet, and there was no reference to unencumbered in that 25 feet. So where we may get a few more inmates in a cell in Iraq than we would in the United States, it was still much different than what they were used to under Saddam, which there were no standards at all.
Right.
So even though some of their standards dropped a little bit, were a little bit below, or maybe a better word is different than what we're used to over here, as the international standards apply, they still were something to go on, and there were barriers because anyone who had worked in the prison before had no relevance to them. They simply did what they were told, which was let the inmates pretty much govern themselves and stay out of the cells unless you had to go in there to respond to some emergency. There was just no concept of good security, good programming, sanitation, etc. They didn't any of those standards that they worried about. So it became a barrier, mostly because it was completely new thinking to the Iraqis.
How far would you say the prison service came while you were there, and what did it look like when you left? Do you know what it's like now?
Yeah, actually, I stay in touch with some of the team members that are still over there. I stay in touch with them quite frequently, every couple of days. And I feel like the Iraqis just made leaps and bounds from when we got there. They, at no small risk to their personal safety, stepped in and followed direction that they weren't even sure, and they embraced it, and they weren't even sure that it would work out for them. This was an unknown venture for them. They didn't know that at the end of the road they would have a good prison system, but they trusted in the idea of freedom and democracy, that people would be treated okay in prisons, not abused, and that the system would establish itself, as with the rest of the governmental systems, would establish itself as kind of for the people, of the people, for the people. Those kind of trendy little phrases that folks use in speeches, and we get out of some very good documents in our history. But for them, it was a new concept. And So they embraced that, not knowing where it would take them, but in the 8 months I was there, they went from very, very dirty, unsanitary, disorganized, unsafe, and unsecure, insecure situations within the prison to a regimen of everyday cleaning, everyday counting inmates, everyday doing security checks and shakedowns, everyday getting all the inmates in coveralls and all the staff in uniforms and applying policy kind of consistently from place to place, treating folks professionally and humanely that were in prison, the staff being communicated with from the administration. You couldn't recognize it. I do a presentation and I show kind of before pictures and after pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And even today when I see it myself, it's like, wow,
mm-hmm.
they came so far. And since I've been gone, a couple of other things have been accomplished as well. They've started tool control, shadow boards, things like that. Folks have sent me pictures. So they're continuing to make advances with the Iraqis, and the Iraqis are continuing to stay on that path.
That's great. Note to our audience, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Mark Saunders about his experiences in Iraq. I wanted to ask you if Iraq helped you kind of formulate any ideas about maybe how prisons here in America could be improved or changed.
Well, I think, truthfully, Michelle, sometimes I find that we ask too little of our profession in America now. Having seen what the Iraqis could do starting from scratch, with literally no knowledge or background in the business, I come over here and I see a wealth of knowledge and talent in our field, virtually covering all the positions from the entry-level staff to the folks that are running prisons departments and prisons themselves. And I see that we could go much, much farther. We could do probably a lot more. I've held myself way more accountable for doing the good and the right things in the face of situations that I would ordinarily not spend the time on. I just think we have discounted our resources. Now I have a feeling that we have way more potential than we're getting to within our systems. And you know, I guess I didn't mean to make that sound like it took me a long time to come around to that, but because we have a lot of leaders in this country, some of whom I work for, who have seen that vision well before me and recognized, hey, folks, we got a lot more we can do. But it really has been illustrated to me in just an exaggerated fashion from having been over it in Iraq.
I'm sure. Just seeing the changes they were able to make, it makes you kind of come back and say, wow, we could make changes here, too.
Yeah.
What would you say to some of those who are trying to draw comparisons between some of the abusive incidents that took place in Iraqi prisons and some of the incidents that take place in American prisons? There's been, you know, a lot of talk in the media and, you know, different folks from different groups have sort of talked about this. And I was just wondering if you could sort of maybe talk about what your opinion is and your thoughts on that are.
Well, I think there's a commission looking into some of those things, and what my first response is, I'll leave that to those experts, but from my personal and only my personal view, the incidents in Iraq were very different than things that we see here in this country, and a lot of folks in the leadership of corrections in our country have already gone on record as saying it's not fair to immediately assume that incidents of that nature or worse are occurring in our prisons and with no regard for human rights and no regard for humane treatment. My personal experience has been that our folks don't have big abuse issues, the ones that I deal with. Now, we get something reported, we react to it, we investigate, and I don't mean to sound, the old cliche, but the truth is we do investigate, and if in fact someone's found at fault, they're held accountable for that. You don't see conspiracies running from top to bottom of systems and things like that. Some of the old movies with, you know, where the warden sits in his office and sends captains out to beat people and things. You know, that kind of thing not only does it not occur now, it's never occurred in my career.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see, and I have to side on with the folks at the top of our profession that have come out and said, in no uncertain terms, don't make generalizations that this type of stuff is rampant or even frequent in American prisons, because our experiences tell us that they are not. And our experiences tell us when someone does stray and does make a mistake or violate rules or violate someone's rights, that they're dealt with, and dealt with generally as quickly and as harshly as we can get to the facts about it. As far as the Iraqi incidents, I see them as, and I was there, and believe me, it appeared to be much bigger over here than it was over there from the Iraqis that I talked to every day. And their take on it was very minimized in terms of what kind of our country, the way our country kind of looked at it. Their take was a much more minimized perspective. But those mistakes were made, in my opinion, by young folks who were not that experienced, maybe, in day-to-day corrections, the corrections profession on a day-to-day basis. Maybe they were kind of put in a situation, but I make no excuses, certainly, for them. What they did was wrong and inexcusable, and it appears that they're all going to be paying for that in some way, shape, or form. But I don't see those kind of incidents in my career. I have not seen them, and I think that to make an assumption that because those folks came from America that all that's happening in all American prisons is really not fair. And I think the commission and other things that are looking into this will probably come to similar conclusions. If they don't, I'd be very surprised.
Well, thank you very much for your thoughts on that. And this concludes today's live talk. Thanks again to Mark Saunders for joining us today to discuss his experiences.
Thank you, Michelle. It's been my pleasure.
Well, it has been a pleasure to have you. And also thank you to our audience for tuning in. For more information about corrections conditions in the U.S. and some discussion about incidents in Iraq, be sure to read this week's articles on the Corrections Connection at www.corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.